Blog Talk Radio.
Ready for some fun facts about Cleveland? There are none. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns football program. Oh, wait, you don't have one because Cleveland has the magical ability to turn draft picks into drug addicts. Along with your signing bonus and workout bonus, is there a guaranteed bonus if you don't go to rehab within the first 2 years? I think your player development program isn't working primarily because your city is a dump.
You're listening to That's What She Said with Casey Wallace on MSL Radio. No sugar-coated cupcake sports talk here, guys. We're just going to keep it real, and we're going to have some fun while we're doing it.
All right, everybody, you're listening to That's What She Said on MSL Radio. I'm your host, Casey Wallach. You can follow me on Twitter, at Casey Wallach. And hope everybody's having a good day. Some fans more than others of college football, but we'll get into that. If you want to call into the show, the number is 646-716-6972. All right, so to get started, before we start talking a little bit of college football, not too much, figured we'll do Wally's Week 7 predictions. Last week was a little bit rough. I posted them on Twitter because we didn't have a show last week because I was sick, but went 9-5, which isn't terrible, but there were some, you know, last-minute type surprise games. So anyway, we'll start with the sure bets category, and this is a little bit – some of these were a little tough to – like, I like to try and have four sure bet games, and I put one of them in just to even it out, but I'm not entirely 100% up. But anyway, all right, so number one, Falcons over the Titans. Tennessee has a horrible pass protection, and, you know, you've got Devonta Freeman versus a team that gives up, you know, almost 130 rush yards per game. So that's that one. And then the Steelers over the Chiefs. Even though the Steelers are on their third quarterback in Landry Jones, if Roethlisberger's not playing, he's pretty comfortable in their system, and the Chiefs' offense obviously is not productive. I mean, it's pretty much the Chiefs are done. Then got Rams over the Browns. You know, you got Todd Gurley, who's been playing well as of late, and the thing with Rams is that it always depends which Rams team shows up. And so, but the Browns have the worst run defense in the NFL, and they're at home. So that's where I'm going with those. And then in the more probable than not category, got in London, Bills over the Jags. Sorry, Dylan, I know it was your Jags. But even though the Bills aren't going to have Tyrod Taylor, Sammy Watkins, or Percy Harvin, you might think maybe the Jags could pull it off. I don't know. But, you know, I don't know. Buffalo's defense, it's so good. So that's that. And then Colts over the Saints. They're coming off of their best offensive performance versus the Patriots, even though they lost. And maybe they've got some momentum. And New Orleans defense does have vulnerabilities that they might be able to exploit. Dolphins over the Texans. Miami's coming off of obviously a huge win. We'll get into that. And, you know, a huge win for the morale of the team, you know, not like a being the Patriots or anything like that, but a huge win, and they need to carry that, you know, motivation and everything, but they also need to contain DeAndre Hopkins on Houston, and they're going to have to fight for sacks because their Texans offensive line is pretty good at pass protection, and I don't know, but right now I can't pick against Dan Campbell. I'm going to give him another week and see if this carries over. Obviously, we'll see next Thursday night against the Patriots what the Dolphins are really made of. Then this is my game of the week, and I'm going to talk about it a little later. I've got the Patriots over the Jets, number one offense versus number one defense. The Jets defense is great in a lot of categories, and incredible to watch. But I don't think they can necessarily handle Gronk, Edelman, and Deion Lewis all at the same time. So, you know, plus, I have a hard time not picking Tommy and the Pats. You know, it's going to be a physical game. So And then we got Chargers over the Raiders. Obviously, Chargers are coming off two heartbreaking, you know, crushing close losses and very winnable games. You know, they were right there against the Packers last week. I was very nervous watching those final seconds. But they're at home, and Oakland hasn't won in San Diego since 2011. And then the last one in this category is the Panthers over the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. And the whole thing, I mean, the Eagles looked good last week. I mean, not going to knock on them for that. But Bradford's, you know, inconsistent. I think they should put Sanchez in, but that's just my opinion. Their offense is unreliable. You know, if they got that run game going and everything, but Carolina's really kind of been, you know, downplayed as actually being a really good team. And Carolina's tough, and they don't go down without a fight. So I'm going to go Panthers on that. Now, for the last category, which is the use your discretion, basically flip a coin. For Thursday night, I had picked Seahawks over the 49ers. Obviously, Seattle knew they needed that one, and their defense actually showed up. Kaepernick looks like a shell of the guy who he used to be, and like, he used to make Green Bay fans nervous as hell when they, you know, when they were coming into town, we were playing them. But he had zero rush yards, and just it's just bad news up there in San Francisco. Then we got the Vikings over the Lions. Detroit has given up 723 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns in the first six games, so Adrian Peterson could really have a big game. But I'm not going to count out Detroit. And then we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the Redskins. Literally, I did flip a coin for this one. But to be honest, Tampa Bay's Doug Martin could have a big game versus Washington. They have a crappy run defense, and the Jets got 221 yards on their run defense. So, plus, you know, Jay Gruden also called this a cold red, which is never a good sign for any team. Then finally, we've got the Giants over the Cowboys. Normally, obviously, you'd pick Dallas, but there's no Romo, no Dez, and it's, now you got Matt Castle after benching Whedon. Even though the New York Giants looked bad versus the Eagles, I don't know. I'm just not seeing enough from Dallas. Obviously, it's a bank up, and I don't know. Again, these are all kind of like toss-up games. So those are my predictions for Week 7. Now let's talk about the Miami Hurricanes. There was this fact or this stat that I found yesterday that I thought was interesting, and I'm still going to read it. But so prior to this afternoon, Brad Kyle was one of only two quarterbacks in the entire country with at least 200 pass attempts, but no more than one interception. He had one interception and 10 touchdown passes. Obviously, he had one interception today, so that's no longer. The other quarterback that has this stat is Mississippi State's Dak Prescott. He's got zero interceptions, or at least, I don't know if he still does or not. But anyway, so obviously, the Hurricanes' 58-0 loss to number 6 Clemson was the worst in the University of Miami's history. It was bad. Like, I wasn't watching the game. Like, just I wasn't focused just on that game because Texas was playing, and you know I'm a Longhorns fan. But I did flip back and forth, and every time I flipped back, the score just kept going up and up, and Miami's just kept staying at that zero. Like, it was, I mean, I looked at the stats, and Clemson had 567 total yards, and of that, 416 of them were rushing yards. Like, that's insane. Miami had 146 total yards and 53 rushing yards. But, and then Clemson had 33 first downs, and the Canes only had 6. Something that kind of interested me on that was like that Clemson only had the ball 7 or 8 minutes longer than Miami throughout the game. I mean, it shows how incredibly efficient Clemson, you know, was against Miami. The penalties for the Canes, you know, obviously come into play again. They had 7, but for about 90 yards. And It's just, I mean, it's just everybody's deflated. I mean, you had Kane's fans fighting with each other in the crowd. And then you had, and also you had a lot of empty seats. And, I mean, but yet the athletic director is still going to keep going with Al Golden. And even though Al Golden said after the game, like, it was his fault that he hadn't prepared them for this game all throughout the week, like, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you had on Twitter Warren Sapp and other ex-Miami stars ripping Al Golden, like, very publicly, saying, like, this can't go on any longer. And, I mean, it had lots. I mean, Clemson had their third-string guys in. Like, it's not like they were running up the score with, you know, their top players out there. And, yeah, so it was not good. You know, I don't even know what to say, because if they don't want to make a change of coach, they're not making many improvements anywhere else or any at all. So I'm not sure. You know, I feel sorry for Kane fans that they have to put up with this. And again, so we'll get back to that. That's pretty much all I got to say about Kane. I'm sorry, Kane fans. It's basically like, this isn't fair to you guys at all, like to any fans. All right, so let's take a quick commercial break, and when we get back, we will talk your Miami Dolphins and Dan Campbell.
Interested in being a sports writer or a lifestyle writer for Miami Sports and Lifestyle? Or how about being that next great radio personality? Hit up at 305 Sports and Life on Twitter for more information.
Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help on to sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Ur at Stephen_Ur@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
This is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show and the CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer, and if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. The Andrew Powell Show brings you a fresh sports talk show that stands out above the rest. Tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., only on MSL Radio.
Play Action Sports League. They are signing up teams for the end of summer adult flag football leagues. You can either go Wednesday nights under the lights at On Brister Park in Coconut Grove, or you can go Saturday mornings at Coral Gables High School. Does your team have what it takes to be a champion? For more info, you could go to www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632. Once again, that is www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632.
Ready for some fun facts about Cleveland? There are none. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns football program. Oh, wait, you don't have one because Cleveland has the magical ability to turn draft picks into drug addicts. Along with your signing bonus and workout bonus, is there a guaranteed bonus if you don't go to rehab within the first 2 years? I think your player development program isn't working primarily because your city is a dump.
You're listening to That's What She Said with Casey Wallace on MSL Radio. No sugar-coated cupcake sports talk here, guys. We're just going to keep it real, and we're going to have some fun while we're doing it.
All right. So, Dan Campbell made the Dolphins look like a totally different team last week. There was no signs of the complacency or any lack of effort that you've seen previously. It was fun to watch, and just, you know, how amped up the players were. It was what what Dolphins fans wanted to see, what people across the, you know, that follow the NFL, you know, were kind of expecting to see from Dolphins. Obviously, you know, the one game and all that, but it's still something for fans to be happy about and the players to, you know, build upon. Obviously, you know, we all know how Dan Campbell said that after the game that the sleeping giant has been woke and now he can't take a nap. And then he kind of, once he calmed down a little bit later, you know, he said basically, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. That's one. That's just one. You know, he said the players were able to hope again. They were able to hope. And after that, like, you can start to believe in all this stuff. So, obviously, it's a big difference because it kind of showed that the game's not just about preparation, which used to be, like, what Philbin's, you know, area of expertise or forte was. But it's also about having a different mentality and mindset, and they were missing that. And, you know, obviously that intensity and that competitive spirit and that drive, like, really showed up. And, you know, like an example, like missing that mindset was like they used to, like, abandon the run, like, you know, so they stopped overthinking the run game, and then you had Lamar Miller entered week 6 with only 131 yards on 37 carries, I think, in the first 4 games, and then Sunday versus Tennessee, he had 113 yards on 19 carries and a touchdown, which, you know, obviously helps the game a lot because, you know, if that offense can execute early and keep them from having to play from behind all the time, then the defense could actually, like, go out there and play aggressive and get after the quarterback and all that, which they did because, obviously, you know, from one sack all season to 6 versus the Titans. 4 of them were Cameron Wake, which was awesome to watch. Obviously, you know, we all know the Titans called Vernon's hit on Mariona. Ken Wisenhunt called it BS football. And Vernon obviously got a big fine for it. Well, it's for that and also hitting him on the head, too. So I thought somebody wrote something that, you know, it's better to have people angry about how aggressive your team is than to have people happy about how soft it is, which I agree. Obviously, you know, players are buying in, and it's great to see. You know, there's still things and flaws, you know, that they need to work on. Obviously, Tannehill, his completion percentage is still under 60%, and he's still throwing those interceptions. You know, you got the banged up O-line, issues in the secondary and all that, but you know, the play, like Rishard Matthews, wide receiver, you know, he said, referring to like the players are buying into what Campbell's saying, is that you know, when he speaks, this quote, when he speaks, he gets in your blood and gets your hairs up. You just want to go out there and battle for him. And then, like, Jamar Taylor said, you know, he thinks it's dudes playing for each other. It's a change of mindset. We've got to keep competing our butts off. I mean, dudes competing for each other is pretty simple scheme, but I guess, you know, maybe it works. And, you know, it's exciting to see. Obviously, Texans, not a huge, you know, formidable opponent other than that, you know, dude J.J. Watt. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But Texans are 7-0 all-time versus the Dolphins. Obviously, a different team that last played them, I think, most recently in 2012. You know, they've got their offensive issues, of course, other than DeAndre Hopkins, which, you know, the defense will have to contain him for sure. And then, yeah, I mean, like, you got Sue saying, you know, how he loves, you know, Dan's opinion. He loves his motto of towing the line and being physical. And, of course, Sue's going to like that, you know, because it's the kind of player he is. And, you know, there's all these changes in practice. I mean, there was, you know, this week they had alternate black practice jerseys to basically give the feel of, like, two different teams playing against each other with a goal of joining forces on Sunday. And then they had this thing that apparently looked like a drill. It was a drill, but it ended up resembling, like, a huge, like, rugby scrum. And basically he had the young players get in the middle of a circle, and they had to try and, like, find or fight their way outside of the circle while the veteran players tried to keep them herded inside. So, I mean, there keeps going. You know, it's always with that competition and that intensity and that fighting and that mentality, which, you know, if they can keep it going, possibly, you know, could pay off. I'm looking forward to next Thursday's game against New England just to see, like, get a real kind of vantage point of where this team's at and how far they've come. Back to the game against the Texans, Campbell was asked about his strategy to stop J.J. Watt, and he joked that they had a good plan, that they're going to put all five linemen on him and shut him down and hope nobody else gets to us. Obviously, you know, not true. But Houston's sack numbers aren't terribly strong. Like, they're 24th, I think, in the league. Watt's had four, though, in six games, and he makes plays, you know, on tackles and on other, you know, obviously other areas, you know, on the run and everything. So I think you're probably going to see, from what I've heard, you're probably going to see Deion Sims, who's a good blocking tight end, be helping out with Albert and Juwan James. You know, see if that holds them off. You know, guard Dallas Thomas said regarding why, you know, you're just going to have to be physical with him. He's going to be physical back with you, and you got to be ready for it. We all know that J.J. Watt wears down opponents, and the whole thing is a lot of that because he moves around on defense so much. And then you got multiple linemen that have to prepare and, you know, be ready for him at any moment. And Watt is the best when the offense becomes, like, stuck, then he's getting in there for those sacks and forcing the fumbles and batting the passes and all that stuff. So obviously, big thing for Miami would be to run successfully from the get-go to keep that momentum going and stay confident in that running game. And yeah, so I think Miami's going to win. I mean, they should win, but next test is going to be New England. That's going to be very interesting to me. So speaking of New England and the Patriots, like I said earlier, the game of the week for me is, and for a lot of people, actually, you're hearing a lot of people talk about it on sports radio, is the Patriots versus the Jets in Foxborough. Like I said, the number one offense versus the number one defense. And, you know, it's, the Jets are 4-1. I mean, it's funny to say that, like, because I'm a fan of both the Patriots and the Jets, you know, I call myself a closet Jets fan because, you know, years past, you don't really want to admit you're a Jets fan. But, you know, obviously Green Bay Packers are my end-all be-all team, but these are the other two teams I like. And it's going to be a good game. Like, it's not. It's going to be physical, obviously. You know that. It's not going to be, you know, this high scoring, I don't think, you know, this run up the score thing, or it's going to be close, you know. It's, but there's some interesting, like, statistical similarities and all that between the teams. And, like, you've got, you know, the Jets who blitz more than any other team. But then you've got Tom Brady is, like, tied for sixth in completion percentage versus the blitz. Then you got the Jets being the best defense on passes outside the hash, you know, keeping QBRs down to below 30. And because, you know, you got Revis and Cromartie, obviously. But Tom Brady's QBR outside the hash marks is 84. You know, you got Fitzgerald. He's had three games straight with a quarterback rating over 90. But he's got the fourth highest interception rate in the league. And he's not very good on the completing the deep ball. So, I mean, there's all these, like, dichotomies or whatever, you know. It's interesting. You know, Brandon Marshall is a force out there as receiver. His receiving yards through five games is the best since 1968 for the Jets. You got Chris Ivory, who is leading the NFL in rushing yards, and he's got the second highest yards after contact, and that's obviously a big, big advantage and takes some pressure off of Fitzpatrick. And then you got Revis. You know, he always will take on the opponent's best wide receiver or their favorite target one-on-one and just, like, eliminates them from the game. But, I mean, you've got out there, you got to try to defend or slow down, you know, Gronk, Edelman, and Tom Brady, obviously. And then it's I don't know. You can't do them all, take care of them all at once. Like, they asked their Jets defensive coordinator, Casey Rogers, about, you know, how you're going to stop the Pats, quote, big three. And he said, you just made my stomach want to throw up. So, you know, there's a little bit of nerves there. I mean, obviously, their Patriots offense is phenomenal. You know, they're the only team in the NFL with a third down conversion percentage above 50, and they're the second in red zone efficiency, and they have got the fewest turnovers, or tied for the fewest turnovers. And so it's, I don't know, I think Gronk's going to have a big game, and it's interesting. And then you got to add more fuel to the fire, obviously. We all know Tom Brady is motivated as heck, and he's, you know, he'll take any sort of criticism or doubt and just turn it into, like, annihilating you. So, this week, Jets safety Marcus Gilchrist said, quote, when he was asked about preparing for the Patriots or Tom Brady, he said, quote, you prepare the same you prepare for Kirk Cousins. Yeah, Kirk Cousins. So you approach facing one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in the same way as you prepare for a turnover, like a turnover interception machine that is Kirk Cousins. I don't know, like, you know, that might have been taken out of context, obviously, because I think he was trying to say, you know, we can't allow one game to be bigger than the other, or, like, you know, we prepare the same way, you know, for every quarterback. But it's a division rivalry, and Tom Brady and the Patriots are going to use that as motivation. And we all know that Tommy is very dangerous when he's motivated, when he's pissed, you know, and so there's just little things like that. And then you had Sheldon Richardson talking some other stuff on, you know, on the Jets regarding the Patriots, like they're licking their chops and all this stuff. You know, I really see this one going to the Patriots, but I think it's going to be close. I think that defense is just going to keep them in there. And offense isn't terrible if, you know, you avoid the Fitzpatrick turnovers, which are inevitable. So, last little thing here. before we end the show, just opening. Okay, we got 5 undefeated teams left in the NFL. You got the Packers, you got the Patriots, you got the Broncos, Panthers, and the Bengals. So basically, which one's going to fall first? I'm going to have to go with, originally, like a couple weeks ago, I thought maybe it would be the Panthers, just because I thought they didn't have anybody. But the Panthers have just been showing up and really impressing everybody. I mean, I'm sorry, Carolina, for doubting you guys. But I think it's going to be the Broncos. I mean, this 6-0 Broncos team, it's so covered up by their defense being phenomenal, is covering up Peyton Manning's every flaw and every, I mean, Peyton Manning, being, you know, like, is looking like a shell. Like, he doesn't even look like himself. I mean, it's just not Peyton Manning we know, and it's so apparent. But this defense keeps them winning games. Now they play the Packers next week coming out of the bye. So I don't know if that loss is going to come in or not, but one of those two undefeated teams is going to go down next week. So you've been listening to That's What She Said on MSL Radio, and I want to thank my producer, Dylan, and I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their weekend. You're going down for it.